Skipper.
Not anymore.
The Sec Chief glanced at the high tower jutting from the Ville, partially hidden by the trees.
That's a hell of a shot.
You were smart to risk half of our 50-caliber ammo so he could practice and learn how to use that huge-ass rifle properly.
Called a Barrett. She's a bitch to control, but the best sniper rifle there is. Steyr is good, Weatherby even better, but neither of them have the range and power of a Barrett Light 50.
How do you know so much about blasters, anyway? Always wanted to ask.
Don't. It's really not important.
Just then, a soft moan came from somewhere near, and both of them quickly spread out until they located the source. Sprawled on the ground was a legless man, his black robes torn asunder, exposing a bulky leather vest wrapped around his chest. Dark blood was pooled around his waist and trickled from the corner of his mouth. Charles leveled his rifle and fired a single round into the twitching man, who jerked at the impact and went still. Susan then hawked and spit on the enemy.
He wrapped their bodies in wet leather and let it dry good and tight, so even if we belly shoot them, their guts don't fall out and they can still fight. They're dead, but could still fight.
Heard he gave them some drink before battles to make them brave.
Drugs to kill the pain of a wound?
Don't know, but makes sense.
Never heard of such tactics before.
Brilliant. He was fucking brilliant.
Thankfully, now he's fucking dead.
Agreed, my lady. Any idea of the damages?
She gestured vaguely.
We lost over half our sec men and almost all of our ammo. We couldn't stop an attack by rabbits today. Take us at least a week to make more black powder for the cannons.
Susan looked at the line of trees edging the field. Even though she knew exactly where the muzzleloaders were hidden, the Baron still couldn't easily detect the cannons. Each primitive weapon had been painstakingly salvaged from city parks, VFW halls, and museums across the whole Shen Valley. The iron barrels of the ancient weapons had been blocked with soft lead, which proved very easy to remove once the barrels were heated over a forge. Then the lead that poured out made cannonballs, and a high school textbook had revealed the secret of how to make black powder from kitchen matches and their own night soil.
We lost two cannons.
Susan squinted at the hole in the forest. Bloody splinters were scattered for yards around a flattened area of charred soil.
The crew overpacked the blasters, or the barrels were too old, whatever. But the explosion killed more of us than the samurai ever did.
Just bad luck. It was the cannons that stopped their charge. Their leader never even got close to the fortress, thank God.
Yes, thank God.
Another shot rang out in the field, as the Ville Secmen found another Oriental warrior not quite dead enough to suit them. The two started walking slowly toward the fortress.
Have the white hairs and children sweep the field for any of our men still alive, and then establish a collection point where all of the recovered weapons and ammo can be gathered and inspected. We want to make sure each Secman has a working blaster and the correct rounds.
What about the swords?
He stepped over the tangled corpses of a samurai and a Secman who had died chilling each other.
There's going to be a lot of those.
I don't know, Chatty. Pile them somewhere, and we'll decide later if we want to learn sword fighting or grind them down into knives.
Blaster in hand, he gave a salute.
By your command, Baron.
She returned the gesture.
You know, I really didn't think we would survive today, much less win.
She spoke in unaccustomed honesty, sheer exhaustion forcing the words out. Charles rested on the upturned M16 as if it were a crutch.
We had to be victorious. I was in charge of Ville defense, and I never lose. Didn't I ever mention that?
Oh, shut up, asshole.
He grinned.
By your command, Baron.
Suddenly, a man sprinted toward them from the fortress. The Baron and her sec chief stood patiently, waiting for him to reach them. If he had the energy to run, there was no need for them to move.
Your lordship.
The man snapped a crisp salute. The Baron returned it wearily.
What is the matter, Corporal? Another attack? And who would attack this time? There's nobody left.
Front Royal, Baron. We just got a report from some of the hill folk we trade with that Front Royal has over 100 new sec men and crates of blasters. Auto-firing blasters. Something called an AK-47.
AK-47? Black dust. Crates of blasters, you say?
That's the report, yes, sir.
What the hell is Caudor doing? Could Front Royal be preparing to attack?
The Sec Chief frowned deeply.
A 100 new troops, plus those packs of wild dogs they use. Who needs that kind of defense? No. He's planning something. But what?
Chatty, we can't hold off another attack. Front Royal could take us in a day. Maybe we should cut a deal with them, buy us some time.
Or we could use that special person again.
The woman blanched.
Sullivan? I thought he died after chilling the last Baron of this place.
And waste a valuable resource like that? Never, my lady. I gave him a small cabin in the woods and let him practice on cold hearts and condemned prisoners. We gave him freedom and food. Sullivan is very loyal to us.
To you.
That's the same thing, Baron. The man will happily perform any dirty chore we ask of him.
Hardly a man.
The former Baron of Bull Run had enjoyed torturing prisoners and relatives by forcing them to have intercourse with muties captured from the radioactive hell zone of Washington Hole. Many died in the attempts. A few offspring were born, but those were always deformed and died within minutes. The one exception was Sullivan. He not only survived, but also grew tall and incredibly strong, killing the Baron at age 10 when the fool tried to drown the mutie child in a river. Now over 6 feet tall, Sullivan could physically pass for a norm, his loose clothing hiding any major physical irregularities. His finely chiseled features were almost too perfect to be called handsome, his head smooth and hairless, but whether from shaving or a natural condition was unknown. Sullivan rarely spoke and never seemed to eat. He never laughed, but constantly bore a gentle smile, as if greeting an old friend. Small-caliber rounds, such as 22s and homeloads, would bruise his odd skin, but didn't penetrate. He had once chilled a man who laughed at him by crushing his skull in one hand, the man's head busting apart like ripe fruit in the iron grip of the monstrous half-breed. The former Baron tried many times to duplicate the creation of the horrible mutie, but with no success. Even though the humanoid muties were once true norms, something had been altered within them by the radiation, and no matter how often the Baron forced prisoners and condemned men to try, Sullivan remained unique.
Give the thing whatever it wants, then send it off to Front Royal to chill the Baron.
Nathan Cotter?
Or anybody who is in charge, I don't care. That should buy us enough days to get prepared for a fight.
And afterward?
Kill the mutie freak.
And she started for the fortress once more. Smiling and waving to the people in the corridor, Overton closed the door to his rooms in the fortress and spat out a virulent oath.
The one-eyed gimp didn't fall for it. Reiner's supposed to have this terrible temper. Faced with a bastard usurper, he was supposed to fly into a rage, attack me, and then snipers would kill him and Nathan, wounding me. Our blues kill the snipers, and I become the undisputed ruler of Front Royal.
Yes.
Overton kicked a footstool out of his way.
How could such a simple plan go wrong?
Sitting in a chair near the window, Key looked down on the courtyard filled with cheering people. The area was dark, lit only by the occasional flash of lightning and the pale moon struggling to show through the boiling orange clouds of toxins.
Maybe he's smarter than we were told. That would be most inconvenient. Or perhaps he believes you are his son. The story is just crazy enough to be true.
Overton grunted in reply. His mother had been a gaudy slut, all right, but not down in the south somewhere. He knew who his real father was. The man had taken a week to die, Avila tossing the match herself to set fire to the gasoline-soaked man who had abandoned them.
What should we do?
What can we do is a better question.
Crossing the room, he yanked open a cherrywood cabinet and chose a bottle of wine at random.
At present, I'm throwing a party to welcome home the man I want dead.
Poison?
Don't have any.
Get him drunk and push him off a balcony?
Love to, but when will we ever be alone?
The sick man stood.
Maybe we should just shoot and risk open rebellion from the locals. We can beat this bunch of uneducated hicks in a straight fight.
Maybe, but not for certain. Those packs of dogs they have are a formidable weapon. Besides, our boss wants everything low-key and quiet. Don't let the neighbors know what's going on here until it's too late for them to do anything.
Ah, I detest stealth.
Tough.
Placing the dusty wine bottle on a roll-top desk, Overton took a key from a pouch inside his belt and unlocked a drawer. Reaching inside, he withdrew headphones, clicked the switch, and worked the dial